Folks, do you believe in our founders' vision for America? That our republic will only survive if we are an educated and informed people who know our rights and duties? Since 1844, Hillsdale College has sought to educate all who wish to learn about these timeless principles of self-government. For more than 50 years, the college has worked to spread that mission by sending Imprimis, their Digest of Liberty, to millions of Americans, including me. Imprimis features some of the best speeches given at Hillsdale events, and now an audio version of the popular speech digest is available in a new podcast of the same name. And like the printed publication, Imprimis the podcast is always free. You can hear the best arguments from speakers such as Christopher Rufo, Mark Stein, and Hillsdale College President Larry P. Arn, among many others, all read by Hillsdale students. Visit DanaForHillsdale.com to subscribe today and start listening to Imprimis today, all for free. To listen, visit DanaForHillsdale.com. That's DanaForHillsdale.com.
I've often said when people ask you about your age, just watch me. And I think a lot of people do watch you and are impressed, and they think you've been a great president. You've brought the economy back. You've restored relations with the world. But many of these people do say, and these are ardent supporters of yours, the next thing he should do is step aside and let another generation of Democrats take the baton. Why are they wrong?
Not right or wrong. Look, to use the phrase again, I think we're at an inflection point. I think the world is changing, and I think there is one thing that comes with age if you've been honest about it your whole life, and that is some wisdom.
Does that wisdom include whose cocaine it was? I don't really care about anything else. I just want to know whose cocaine it was at this point. I really just don't care about anything else. And we're still apparently talking about it because no one wants to be honest. We wouldn't be talking about it if, you know, people were actually, you know, if they were honest about it and we could, you know, have a conversation about what's going on in the White House and what isn't. Welcome to the show, though. That was a really weird fawning it was not an interview, it was an ass-kissing session. That's all it was. It was just a big session for what's his face, Fareed Zakaria over at MSNBC, for him to demonstrate fealty to the left. And that's what, like, so much of this stuff is anymore. Welcome to the show. Happy Monday to you. Dana Lash in with you, getting your week started off right. You can listen to the nationally syndicated radio show Coast to Coast. You can also stream it, watch the simulcast, 347 DirecTV, elsewhere, YouTube, Facebook. So we got some 2024 stuff to dump into. We've got some of the latest with some of the movings, some of the goings on in D.C., and particularly what we need to watch for in the Senate going into 2024. And, of course, we got some foreign policy. I saw some video this morning. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. We'll address it, of the president. He's in Britain, and he was meeting with their King Charles over there. And I don't care who you are. I don't care what your politics are. I don't care, you know, if you like Biden or don't like Biden. You cannot tell me from watching the video, you cannot tell me that this guy is well. I watched this video of him, and I'm looking at it on replay right now on my monitor. I'm watching this guy get out of the car, and he's hesitant. He's stiff. He grabs on to Charles's arm, and it's almost like he uses Charles to balance himself. It's really weird. It's really, really weird. He moves like a guy who doesn't have great motor skills or is, like, somehow not well. He's, like, compromised somehow. It's right. I mean, I'm not being picky. It's just, it's weird video. And that's he's over there. They're going to talk about climate change and something. And there's all these video clips of him having to move him along. Charles having to move him along. Whoo, boy. So we're going to get into all of that because it just doesn't look well. I don't care who you are. Now, some of the other stuff to look at, I saw this headline over the weekend, and I think I sent this out. I think you got this in your prep email this morning. I'm trying to remember if I included it in there or not. I think I did. So a Republican state senator You know how Hunter Biden's laptop, his own laptop, he was the, you know, the guy who put all the pictures up on his laptop himself, shared all of this himself, and it became news because it's the president's son, and these are images of the president's son in very compromising positions, doing very compromising, grody things with hookers and blow. And so this, you know, it made the rounds. I mean, this was, it was something that made the rounds. And so now this state senator in Arizona, there's, he could actually face criminal charges, apparently, because he shared this stuff on social media. Not state senator, but it's a Arizona senator, excuse me, Wendy Rogers. Wendy Rogers had retweeted footage to her followers on Twitter. And now they're trying to say it's a revenge. Some are trying to, they want to go after her for revenge porn. I would think that that, now just looking at this very clinically, I would just think that you would have to argue that it's, I think would have to meet a number of definitions legally in order to be classified as revenge porn. Don't you think so? I don't think that that's something that you can just immediately say is revenge, right? Can you? I mean, you're, why way, are you? Look, I know he's got something to say because he starts fidgeting with stuff over
there. The way I understand it, and from what I've read, is if you were in a relationship with someone and you happen to, you know, record them, and then you break up, and then you put out those private recordings, that is revenge porn. This Arizona senator did no such thing. She didn't have relationships with Hunter Biden. There was nothing of, in revenge. What revenge? Did they break up? Did they have a relationship and then break up? No, they didn't. And that's sort of what the law spells out. Now, it's a little confusing when you read it, but that's pretty much what it says.
Yeah, that's what, I mean, that's kind of how I'm looking at it. I just think that you would have to, I think you would have to make that, have that legal, you would have to define that legally. And I don't think that that meets the measure, the legal definition to say that that's what this is. You know, I don't think that that's what this, I don't think it does that. And so, it, to me, I that seems lame, but that's the what, that's the argument that they're trying to, or the tactic that they're trying to use, because oh, she posted, it wasn't just her that posted this online. You realize that this was everywhere. But by the way, do you also realize that he also posted this online? Hunter Biden posted this online. Did he revenge porn himself? I don't know. I mean, I just. It is so goofy that this is what they're, oh, she's in hot water. And then one guy, I what's his name? Tom Ryan, who's some Democrat. Some, I love how the story, which is poorly written, it's probably written by some Democrat who overpaid for their education at Brown. He said, saying, oh, it's not a defense if she took them down. Would it be any more of a defense if you robbed a Circle K and then later gave the money back? You don't get to wipe out the robbery. What, he was the one who posted this stuff. I mean, he literally didn't, he had accounts online. He had accounts on all of these porn sites. He posted all of this stuff online anyway. And then he was the guy who leaves his laptop there. I mean, the way that they treat this guy and excuse everything that he does. So now they want to go after Wendy Rogers. Oh, she may have breached Arizona's revenge porn law. Intentionally posting an image without consent is a criminal offense. He posted these, though, himself. He made videos. I mean, he was a pornographer and he posted it online. So that's all. And this is no, this is news because it's the son of the president of the United States who is putting the nation in a compromising position. So this is I to me, I think that that's a bastardization of any of that. I mean, this is, oh, gosh, the images are so gross. I mean, if you're going to sit here and use daddy's money on hookers, can you at least hire some good looking hookers? Right. I mean, oh, gosh. It's Monday and I shouldn't really start already. But I just think that maybe the bust should not stick out less than the stomach if you're going to spend that much on hookers. Just a normal. You guys, I'm going to say what you're all thinking because no one will say it. I will because I don't care about making friends. So I know that was, so we're starting off our Monday. Now, in addition to that, a couple of other things. There was this, it's finally mattering, I guess. The 7 grandkids, the number of grandkids. Now, there are 2 stories that are out right now. that to me are signaling the green light. It's giving the green light to Democrats that it's okay to go after Joe Biden. So you have the first piece, which is in the New York Times, and it gets in, the title of is It's Seven Kids, Mr. President. It's by Maureen Dowd. And it gets into how the Bidens have been ignoring one of their, you know, their youngest granddaughter. They've been ignoring Navy Joan. And so the piece is, and it's seven grandkids, Mr. President, because they always say six. There was the piece that came out last week saying that the Bidens are mad whenever anyone tries to push them on grandkids or messaging about family or anything of that nature, because they say that it's, you know, it's none of their differences, et cetera, or none of their businesses, et cetera, et cetera. And so this whole piece is about questioning why the Bidens are making this so difficult for themselves. In fact, Dowd says that she wants to know why Hunter Biden couldn't act more like Tom Brady, who treats his son by Bridget Moynihan, the actress he was dating before he married Giselle, the same as the two children that he and Giselle had. It gets into Schwarzenegger with his son, that with the family housekeeper and all of this stuff, but yet Hunter Biden can't bring himself to acknowledge this girl, nor can the president. So you have this piece plus this from Axios. And this is all over. It's also at Daily Mail. In fact, Axios says, behind Biden's folksy demeanor is a quick fuse. No one's safe. The headline is Old Yeller, Biden's Private Fury. They say that behind closed doors, Biden has a quick trigger temper aides try to avoid when meeting with him alone. They always take a colleague almost as a shield. He cusses them out. He screams at them. I totally believe this. Because this narrative that Biden's just like this harmless old pawpaw is a new development. Joe Biden has always been, and forgive the Portuguese, the jackass of the Democrat Party in more ways than one. He has always been one of the nastiest members of the Senate. One of the nastiest. In fact, during the Clarence Thomas hearings, I mean, one of the reasons that, you know, the tenor was so rough is because of Joe Biden. One of the reasons why it was so contentious and how it immediately got started off that way is because that's the tone that Joe Biden set. He was so ignorant. He was out there in the press. I mean, he was rolling in the mud before rolling in the mud was something that had been mainstreamed by operatives and media. He has always been a jerk. So this idea that he's just this nice, innocuous old man is a new thing. Anyone who remembers either the Thomas stuff, I mean, I was young. I was in elementary school when that happened, but I watched some of it, and I remember Biden. And then, you know, my parents and, you know, some of, you know, my older friends in that remember during the Reagan years, particularly when Reagan had gotten in office and Biden hated Reagan. Like, oh my gosh, hated Reagan. And it was Biden and his camp too that were also pushing the whole Reagan and the Alzheimer's stuff, all of that. I mean, he's always been a very mean individual. He wasn't, and that's why his popularity as he got older kind of waned with his own party. But yet he was considered this elder statesman just by way of having been there for as long, that gave him some gravitas. And so that's why he was, you know, considered to be, you know, this pin for Obama for VP. So this whole piece in Axios gets into how he argued with he's argued with everyone. Cussin argued with absolutely everybody. They give names, et cetera. They say he's moody. It can take years to learn how to navigate how him being a jerk. They said that his defenders say that defending him is difficult. He tries to sometimes conceal his temper in public. And he's always been like this. So these two pieces are signaling that it's okay for the left to go after the party leader, because he's not really the party leader. And I wouldn't say, I know some people on the right are saying, oh, it's Alzheimer's anger. He's always been like this. I think that it's just, that's how they'll try to excuse it probably, but he's always been like this. We have a lot to jump into. We have headlines on the way as well. And of course, some of the other stuff we're going to touch on, the latest with cultural decline. We have some economic news, media malpractice. What is the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen? It's already passed the illegal arms trade, and soon it will pass the drug trade. Because someone can sell a bag of cocaine one time, but they can sell a child 5 to 10 times per day. Witness the gripping reality of true heroism in the film Sound of Freedom. From Angel Studios, the force behind His Only Son and The Chosen, comes an extraordinary true story of courage and redemption. Experience the spirit of hope and the power of human resilience, and remember the 2 million children who are trafficked every year. Visit angel.com/freedom. That's angel.com/freedom. Buying tickets in advance sends an important message. To show your support, purchase tickets for yourself or pay it forward, visit angel.com/freedom. Witness the gripping reality of true heroism in the film Sound of Freedom. Visit angel.com/freedom. That's angel.com/freedom.
Is Biden's economic plan truly working? Wages are going backwards as new regulations are costing $10,000 per American. With inflation at a higher rate, your spending power goes down. Make sure you know what numbers to pay attention to. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, disgraced sports pervert kid toucher doctor Larry Nassar was stabbed multiple times in a Florida federal prison, says sources. According to the AP, couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. The pervert, who was convicted of sexually abusing Olympic and college female gymnasts, was stabbed multiple times during an altercation with another inmate at a federal prison in Florida. People familiar with the matter told the Associated Press that the attack happened Sunday at the United States Penitentiary Coleman. They said he was in stable condition, although some say it was a lot more serious than that, that he had a collapsed lung and all of this stuff. I'm just wondering, you know, just because it's part of the reporting, I'm sure, if you could just give money to the commissary of the inmate who did it, you know, so that they could buy some snacks and stuff. I'm wondering if that's possible. More Black Americans support the Supreme Court's affirmative action ruling than oppose it. According to a new poll, the Daily Caller reports that it's an economist poll, you know, that bastion of conservatism. They say 44% of Black respondents actually support the Supreme Court's ruling in the Students for Fair Admissions versus the University of North Carolina and the same group versus Harvard. Media is not going to tell you that, though, because it challenges their narrative and they like to silence any kind of minority voices when it works against them. Let's see. The New Yorker says that walking actually helps you think. Today in obvious news. That seems like that's, you know, obvious. And the FDA is looking into probing the caffeine-packed Prime energy drink that's targeting kids. Lots of caffeine isn't good for you. Stick with us. When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
I don't know who did it. I don't know whose blow it was. If I probably shouldn't say this, but if my record was as bad as this White House's record, I'd probably give my staff blow too.
See? This is why I adore him. I love John. He needs to come on the show. What do we got to do to get Senator Kennedy on this program? I just want him to come on. I don't have anything bad to say about the cat. I have nothing bad to say about him. Nothing. Like, we could be best friends and he doesn't even know. Like, he's missing out on best friend opportunities here. I'm just really disappointed. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lashier with you. That's Louisiana's Senator John Kennedy. He's right, though. I mean, if, you know, He maybe he's got to give his staff blow if he thinks it's that bad. Did you see Senator Ted Cruz walked out there and was like, I don't know, maybe it's not Hunter's. Maybe it's somebody in the staff. I mean, I'm going to go with Hunter until they actually address this stuff. I'm not playing around with this. Because look, this is what, where's the, we have, it's like, let me go through the 5,000 pages of audio we have. Hang on. That's good. No, it's a good thing. We got, it's, it was KJP and, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So let me set it. So this was Friday. She seemed a little cranky and she was asked about the blow, right? At the White House. This was right after we were off air on Friday. She was asked about it by a reporter. This was the response. Check it.
Sorry to bring up cocaine again, but there was a question yesterday during the press gaggle with Andrew Bates that was, I guess, he said that it had, he was avoiding it because of the Hatch Act. I'm just asking again, can we just say once and for all whether or not the cocaine belonged to the Biden family?
So, a couple of things there. He mentioned the Hatch Act because the question was posed to him in the Donald, in yes, using Donald Trump, and so he was trying to be very mindful. I hear you, but you're asking me a question, so I'm answering it for you. And so that's why he said the Hatch Act. So I would, you know, have you read the transcript and read the transcript fully so you can see exactly what he was trying to say. So that's number one. So we're not avoiding the question. That is not true. We've answered this question, litigated this question for the last 2 days exhaustively. You know, there has been some irresponsible reporting about the family. And so I got to call that out here. And I have been very clear. I was clear 2 days ago when talking about this over and over again as I was being asked a question. As you know, and media outlets reported this, the Biden family was not here. They were not here. They were at Camp David. They were not here Friday. They were not here Saturday. They were not here Sunday. They were not even here Monday. They came back on Tuesday. So to ask that question is actually incredibly irresponsible. And I'll just leave it there.
Here's my follow-up. Is it okay? Can I just one follow-up? Would you say it is as irresponsible as doing blow in the White House or not? Is it as irresponsible as literally, you know, snuffing schnees in the White House or no with Hunter? Is that not? It's irresponsible to ask about irresponsible, crazy things. That was the message from the White House. So see, you know, if they just answered it, and this is all they got to do, right? This is all they got to do. They got to come out there and be like, well, clearly somebody had some blow here and it's dumb. And we're going to find out who it is. And we're going to punch him in the throat. That's what we're going to do. And that's how we're going to handle it. The end. Next. Just the cover up and the spin, you're making it bigger than the actual story, which I really don't know if you can in this case, but. And it doesn't help when, you know, the Bidens have accommodated, you know, their addict kid for so long, their 50 something year old baby son. Just why does this have to, everything is so painstakingly ridiculous with this White House, with this administration. They do not know how to handle crises. They really don't. They don't realize that they, to get out of the way of a story and to stop growing it. I mean, you address it, you nip it, and then they don't do it. They make it bigger and worse. They act like no one has the right or authority to question them. Biden definitely acts like that. He's always acted like that his entire life. He acts like that with his son. Like, how dare you question the fact that he's got this, you know, coke-addled, you know, approaching 60-something year old. He's like, what is it, mid-50s? You know, his son that's compromised, I would say national security, definitely his dad. You can't ask any questions about what that means for the American people to have in the White House because some things are off limits. Not if they're in the White House with some blow, they're not. They're not off limits. They're not off limits when they're using daddy's money to literally hire Russian escorts and snort coke and then, you know, and then weigh it and then post all this stuff on the internet. I mean, he's the guy who was literally journaling his life as a drug and sex addict. So people have absolutely every single right to ask this question. If you don't want to answer questions about your personal life, don't run for public office because your personal is public. That's the trade-off. Your personal becomes public. Why is that? Because you are considered to be the standard. You're looked at as the average of Americans that you are representing. And I know that a lot of people try to argue that what happens, you know, what you do personally has no impact or reflection on what you do publicly. I think those people are absolute morons. That is one of the stupidest justifications and dance around for, you know, faulty public behavior or to excuse bad personal behavior that I've ever heard. And I've been hearing it since damn Bill Clinton. And I'm not going to hear it for anybody else, Republican or Democrat. I've heard this since the days of Bill Clinton. I was in high school and I remember hearing going into college and I remember hearing, oh, well, what he did privately has no impact on what he did, you know, publicly. Really? I mean, he's getting blowies in the Oval Office from an intern. You're not thinking that that's like impacting what he's doing publicly? I mean, clearly it did. I mean, a lack of character privately means a lack of character publicly too. It means lack of character, regardless of whether it's private or public. We don't get any of these two personas. We don't get that. So this, you know, and the other thing is too, is Biden made running on his family part of his thing. He's made that part of his thing. He's always talked about family. He's talked about family and he's talked about service. That's what he's always talked about. He acts like Bo's service is his own. He doesn't mention the fact that his other son got bounced right out of the Naval Reserves, didn't even get to go to the first weekend because he didn't pass a drug test. And then when he didn't pass the drug test, according to the New Yorker, he went out and he blamed two men from South Africa, Juicy Sommelier style, for giving him a Coke-laced cigarette outside of a club. I mean, it's nonsense. But Joe Biden made it where he runs on his family. He had his family at all his press things, at all of his campaign stuff. He made that as like one of his big things. Family. Well, when you do that, guess what? That becomes part of your record. You don't get to say, no, you don't get to consider this anymore because it's become disadvantageous for me. It's not how any of this works. I saw this piece from Politico just a little while, just like actually moments ago, about 20 minutes ago. Check this out. This is the headline from Politico. It says, Gavin Newsom's star is ascending and he's bringing a whole constellation with him. We mapped out the California governor's inner circle. They're keeping him in the bullpen as plan B.
Yeah, they are.
Who do they have after him, though? They don't have anybody.
They won't go with Kennedy.
They don't have anybody even coming up. They have nothing. I don't know what they're going to do. Democrats party after Newsom. I don't know what they're going to do. So this, I mean, this is becoming problematic for them. Now, a couple of other things. Yellen meeting with Chinese officials. Did you see the video? She was meeting with, I think this is her counterpart in China. It's China's vice premier. She went to meet the vice premier and raised eyebrows because she apparently effusively bowed. Now, I will say that a simple little bow in Asian culture is the replacement for a handshake. People just bow like that to each other, though it's like reciprocated. Do you know what I mean? There's a bow, like a hello, and then there's what she did, which is weird to me. I mean, she looked like, what are those birds that people put in the yard and they like go down and they get water repeatedly? She did that, but like way fast, like speed it up. That's what she did. It was weird. She bowed like three times and then she messed up his name. She called him by the wrong name. That seems awkward, but she bowed. He sort of bowed one time and that was it. And then she just kept going. He just did a little one and then she did one and then she just did two more. And I don't understand why she needed to do that. And she's being accused of kowtowing to the Chinese official because of that behavior. Now, some people were saying, there was one former White House staffer who was in W's administration who was saying, oh, you never bow. There's a difference between bowing like fealty and then doing what in Asian culture is, you know, like a greeting. And I don't know if it just seems weird what she was doing there. We're going to talk to Stephen Yates about this because it seemed weird. I actually, because you guys know I hate shaking hands. Although I will say after the lockdown, it made me want to go and do everything from lick doorknobs to shake hands. Because I just got so rebellious about it. But the worst thing is when you shake someone's hand and it's wet because they're a sweater, like a palm sweater. You know what I mean? That's like one of that's their hand juice. It's so gross. It's just your, can't deal. So I like the little bowing thing, right? Just like a greeting, not like a bowing, like, oh, I'm, you know, this is like my curtsy, or I'm, you know, showing some sort of demonstration of fealty. No, no, no. But she was accused of basically going hat in hand and embarrassing herself. And she said there were significant disagreements, but the talks were substantive and productive. It just did look weird. I mean, I understand that you're trying to look nice and you're trying to seem amiable, but at the same time, I would be going into this thinking you got more to prove to me than I ever have to even consider proving to you. So I'll give you a head nod, and that's all you're getting. But that's kind of how I would look at it, though. I believe in diplomacy to an extent, and I don't know what this was. It was just weird, just odd to see what she did. So she said that a recession isn't off the table after the latest jobs report, because they've been really trying to finesse the jobs report, right? They've been really trying to make it sound a lot better than it was. And I still love, I saw them, I think it was it Kamala that was tweeting this over the weekend? I'm looking at my notes here, because they're still trying to act like, again, and you guys all know this, when you shut down the economy, one of the strongest economies in the world, and you essentially enact what is economic eminent domain, and you stop people from generating income to pay their bills, they can't go to work, then you measure employment and it's, you know, cratered. And then when everything is lifted and people are, they go back to work, you can't count the return to the jobs you prevented them from going to as a creation of a job. And that's what Biden keeps trying to do. That's what Kamala was also trying to sell over the weekend. That's not how it works. It doesn't work that way. You can't claim that. That's what they're trying to do, very simply. So we're going to talk about some of this, because there's certain things that Republicans need to focus on. And I'm going to tell you, Republicans are getting distracted. I'm already done with this primary, and I'm already done with the partisanship of primary candidates. I think it is so damn stupid to be so obsessed and so all in that you won't even consider any other alternative if your guy doesn't make it going into the general. To be that all in this early is seppuku. Go ahead and just, you know, go ahead and kiss Biden's butt. Go ahead. Just go ahead and change your party affiliation. I'm so done with it, because here's why. Republicans need to be laser focused on the issues people care about. The economy is one. Foreign policy is another. I mean, you've seen how successful messaging on schools. Wait until you see some of the polling I got for Disney on cultural issues, because everything is downstream from culture. People try to make cultural issues look like some sort of Protestant tantrum, and it's not that. It's like, really, this affects everybody. We're going to talk all about this, because Republicans are losing focus. They are. And I'm done. You've heard me talk about my friends at Kel-Tec for years, and it's because I really believe in them as a company and as innovators. Their firearms in design and function go above and beyond, like with the Kel-Tec P50, a revolutionary award-winning pistol that packs a punch in a compact package. The Kel-Tec P50 is perfect for home defense, for range shooting, or just even having some fun. And with its top-mounted Picatinny rail, you can easily attach your favorite optics or accessories to make it truly yours. Whether you are a seasoned shooter or you're just starting out, the Kel-Tec P50 is the perfect pistol for anyone looking for power and precision in a compact and easy-to-use package. Their firearms in design and function go above and beyond. Learn more about the P50 pistol at KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Secure your world with Kel-Tec. KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Well, it wasn't me in New Hampshire screaming, "We say gay." Though I wish I would have. I try to do it every time I'm anywhere near Ron DeSantis or any of his people. I go around like a dog in Florida with my head outside of my car. We say gay. We say gay.
I've never seen anyone try so hard to be liked. It's kind of sad in a way. The what's her face over at the VO? I mean, oh, I just, you know, I try to say this every time I'm around Ronnie. Who says stuff like that? Like, I just, even if it's somebody, I just look at you. I'm like, what is your damage? What are you trying? Why are you trying so hard to kiss up to people that you have to debase yourself this way and act like this? First off, who cares? The fact that she says, let's just go along with the charade here for a moment. The fact that she says, her argument somehow is, well, you can't say gay, and then I said it. Well, clearly nothing happened to you because you're here, right? Nothing happened to you. So there goes your whole argument. I guess you didn't think that out, did you? There goes the whole entire argument. That actually passes as political commentary today. Like, serious political commentary. I mean, there's, you know, having fun and hanging out and, you know, providing entertainment and fellowshipping and that. And I think that what they believe that they do is actually provide serious commentary. But I really don't think any of them ever read the bill. In fact, I pretty much bet on it. The producers there, you know, were kind of nice. I've guest hosted a couple of times. And what happens is you're sitting in everybody's in the makeup room at the same time. When Barbara Walters was alive, by the way, her makeup chair was taller than everybody else's, hands to sky. That's the truth. And the producers come in with a packet of stuff. Everything that you need to know to talk about for the show is in that. And if you forget about any of it, a lot of people, they have what they call IBFs, these ear monitors. Like, these are my headphones, basically, for my radio program. If you're watching the simulcast, you can't see them. But for television, you wear something similar, but usually just in one ear. And IFB, sorry. I got all my letters messed up. What's the other one? The other one's something bad, isn't it? FBI. IFB, yeah, FBI. IFB, and the producers can talk to you over it. So if you don't know what's in the packet, they'll whisper it in your ear. So clearly none of them ever read that bill. We got a second hour on the way. Don't go anywhere. More of the program coming up.
Yeah, Jonathan, look, Casey DeSantis is a fairly compelling political figure in Florida and now nationally. For many, she's the brighter side to Florida's angry governor. For others, she's become America's Karen. And I think that's the ultimate disconnect here with a campaign that needs to embrace more constituencies to get to the White House. Look, she is a more effective messenger than Ron DeSantis. But if all she is doing is amplifying the wrong message, she's actually clarifying Ron DeSantis's weaknesses. And so this ideology, the DeSantis doctrine, if you will, that our culture wars are the most pressing moments and we are going to invent these culture wars to terrify voters, that's simply not a message that resonates. So as really? I like to say, it doesn't matter if it's presented in heels or boots, the DeSantis doctrine is a losing one. We're going to learn that the more
he looks like
DeSantis
he's in the garage
out.
Of Cameron, Ferris Bueller's friend. He's in his dad's garage. That who's that guy? Who's the
David Jolly?
Some guy. I'm sure. Yeah, I don't actually care to know about who he is.
How do people like Sonny Hostin get names like Sonny and Joy get named like Joy? And this guy's David Jolly. There's nothing jolly about this guy.
Yeah.
What a moron.
Welcome back to our program. Top of our second hour. You're mean, mean curmudgeon. Yeah, actually, it's still lovable somewhat. Dana Lash here with you. Get your Monday going off right. Top of the second hour. Listen coast to coast. You can stream the show, watch the simulcast on YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, Direct TV. All right. So this is one of the things I've seen developing. Can we just say, is calling someone a Karen a racial slur? Because I'm actually really wondering if it is. Now, I have family members with this name, so please spare me the whole, I don't like the name being used this way, this is my name. I get you, but I'm talking about this, what the culture is using, okay? Is it because Becky's a slur? Isn't that what, like, white women have been called, Becky's? So now, I guess it's Karen's now, but see, I always thought that Karen was not really a racial slur. I just thought it was kind of if anything, it was a... misogynistic kind of slur. Like, any woman, black or white, could be a Karen, right? But is it just white chicks? I genuinely don't know. I'm curious as to what people think about it. Because I always, like I said, I always thought that it was my interpretation was that it was, you know, any woman, not just a white woman. But again, you know, I mean, maybe it's, you know, who knows? But calling her this is misogynistic. So there are certain things that I see here. I have a big piece that I'm doing on 2024 that is not ready yet. It's draft. It's in the draft process. It's not ready yet. But this is one of the things that I've seen the left do. And we're going to have some very genuine and honest conversations about 2024 going into it. And I'm really getting aggravated with the GOP at large right now because they feel like they're losing focus on a lot of stuff. You know, we had the whole thing with Marjorie Taylor Greene and the House Freedom Caucus, and that took all the headlines and all of these other things. One of the things that I want you to know, and I'm only going to say this every now and then, just because, you know, we have new people that, you know, tune into the show and that listen, is that I'm always going to tell you what I like and who I like. And I'm not going to be cagey and act like, oh, I don't know, I'm going to rise above it all and just not. No, because nobody does that. And I don't think that there's no one who is that good of a liar who can do that. And I just think it's dishonest, even if you are able to present it as such. I think it's dishonest and it does a disservice to the audience out there. And I don't like that. I think it's fake and I don't like it. And I see people trying to do it and they don't do it very well. Now, I think that there's a major difference between liking a candidate or liking an issue and then being, I don't want to say the word influencer. Gosh, I hate that word. I will say surrogate. I think surrogate is, because being a surrogate for the campaign is like more of an official thing. Now, there is a difference between being that and just preferring someone over another. But here's one thing also that I'm not going to do. I'm not going to excoriate my own side more than I am the left. I'll call balls and strikes when there's balls and strikes. But I'm not going to sit here and try and go after one side over the other harder, one faction of the right harder than the other faction of the right to try to curry favor with one faction of the right over the left. I'm not doing that. I still think that Democrats are the biggest opposition going into 2024. And a lot of people are losing sight of that. Now, with this Casey DeSantis thing, I've met her. I know a lot of people like to say, oh, Dana Loesch is, I'm just honest with everybody. I've met Trump too. I've known Trump for over a decade. I've known him longer. I've known his family longer. I've known DeSantis. I've met them in person. I guess it's been about 6 months ago. And I went down of my own accord. No one ever pays me to speak on behalf of any politicians. No one ever does. I fly myself. I do all that stuff. I pay for my own law. I do all of that. Just because I don't need anyone to come. I don't need anybody to cover my bills. I mean, I work for y'all, so I don't need any politicians to cover my bills. But I like meeting the candidates because I think that when you meet them and then you talk about them and their policies on air, it just gives another dimension. It's not flat. I think it's more dimensional commentary. And I met Casey DeSantis, and she is incredibly engaging. She's very smart. She's very good off the cuff, and she's very much an extrovert. And she is she's one of those people that has a lot of energy, which is good. I mean, you have to. I mean, she's A, got young kids, and, you know, B, she's, you know, the wife of a governor, and she's, you know, C, the wife of a governor who's also candidate for president. So you have to have that much energy. She reminds me of another friend of mine who worked in, who was a DJ, and my friend has so much energy. I don't know honestly how she lives. My friend has so, you know, she's like so energized. You know our friend, Kane, you know her too, Lisa. Super sweet. She's that woman, I don't think she sleeps. I think she waits. I think she just closes her eyes and waits for the night to pass and then wakes up and just starts again. Casey DeSantis very much is the same way. She's got that exact same, she's just, some people are just very energetic, and she's very energetic in everything, her movements and greeting people. She's just a very joyful person. And some people are like that. I mean, that's just, you know, she's not trying. That's just who she is. And it's one of the first things that I, and I will say Trump is very similar. He's a little bit more, more of a smart ass because he is. It's funny, but he's like that as well. I don't think any of them sleep. They just close their eyes and wait for night to pass. People are like that. And that's not anybody trying. That's how their personalities are. It's just how it is. When I see people attacking her, like I've seen a couple of different. So first off, we got this dude who's on MSNBC who's saying, oh, she's, what did he call her? America's Karen.
Yeah.
I'm like, who is this guy? Are you Ken? Are you the guy that has, like, you know, questionably shiny but yet not yet defined genitals? I mean, how far do you want to go with this? Like, come on. Like, for a grown adult male, especially a grown adult male who's older than me, to sit there and offer that up as some sort of substitute for wit or any in-depth commentary is lame. I mean, if you can't disagree with her beyond that, I don't get it. Then shut up. Don't offer anything. We have enough turd in the punch bowls of political discourse in this country. We don't need yours, David. I don't think she's like that at all. And that he's trying to knock her. Well, you know, she's emphasizing wrong messaging. He touches on the Disney thing. Really? Let's talk about the Disney thing. I've had a very interesting story about that, by the way. Over the weekend, I was reading about how actually effective it is, because one of the things that the left does not want to admit, and this is the same with Bud Light, crowds over to Disney over the summer have dropped dramatically. Park operations have even had to acknowledge that it's been the slowest that it's been in a decade. Now they're trying to say, oh, well, those price hikes and things like that. I think it's way more than that. And that is more than just conservatives reacting. It is people everywhere being done with it, including other gay people, including gay people being done with it, done with the whole trans activism thing. That is what this is. That's what gets these types of results. And it's the same with the Bud Light thing. They try to act like the Bud Light is just Republicans and conservatives. You don't have that kind of impact just sticking it strictly to Republicans or conservatives. And the same thing with Disney. Furthermore, survey after survey from different publications in the state show that the majority of people actually do agree. There's been, and I see some people on the right doing this, and they are usually political operatives, and they try to say that, oh, well, this was him, the DeSantis administration, because it was DeSantis that did it, but there were also a lot of Republican lawmakers. And I will say, to some of their credit, there were some of the very few Democrat lawmakers that were there that also were agreeing and saying the same thing. You don't get a landslide victory like you do in Florida and historically flip areas like Miami-Dade and Palm Beach and tons of Democrats without making a very good point about the treatment that Disney was receiving. Make no mistake, Disney was receiving anti-free market, anti-capitalist special accommodations that had been in place for decades. No other corporation or company was receiving the sort of anti-free market exclusions and accommodations that Disney was receiving. And when Disney decided to use and to leverage the wealth it had attained and the power that it had attained from decades of anti-free market special accommodation and use that to target parents who simply wanted to exercise more control over what their kids were being exposed to in terms of age appropriateness in the classroom, that's when lawmakers roundly said, enough is enough. You are not behaving, and first off, you shouldn't be receiving the special treatment anyway. And that's number one. And number two, you're not behaving in the way to show us that you should keep receiving this treatment. I mean, they launched a smear campaign against parents. How did they think this was going to end? You really then expect those people to still greenlight your special treatment when you wanted to go after parents? So that's what did it. Anyone arguing that Disney should have kept receiving those special treatments, that's an anti-conservative, anti-constitutional, anti-American, anti-free market, and anti-Republican argument. And if Republicans are making it, question their credentials. So the media has been trying to say, oh, culture war, they've been trying to act like this is some kind of giant Protestant tantrum. That's what they do with everything. But it's really, really hard to hide voting results, legitimate polling results, and it's really, really hard to hide admission numbers and ticket sales, isn't it? Really, really hard to fudge that. A travel company that tracks wait times at amusement park, they're called Touring Plans. They said that the past Independence Day weekend was one of the slowest that they've had in over a decade at Disney. And that was a third-party company. That was an independent measurement. Not related to a Republican, a conservative, a Democrat, or Disney. So what was this guy saying? Because the person who sounds out of touch is that commentator at MSNBC. Which then makes me wonder why he's even on television at all if he doesn't even know what the hell he's talking about. Of course, but that's their whole slate. That's their whole roster there.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I was looking from this tweet from Governor Greg Abbott, who says he's looking forward to signing into law the largest property tax cut in Texas history, because apparently there's been some kind of an agreement reached, which is a good step. Property taxes should be abolished, though, outright, because you never truly own your own property. I mean, there's so many other alternatives to funding roads and emergency services, etc., that don't challenge your actual property ownership. So we'll keep an eye on that. But that's, you know, it's a good first step. As we had said earlier, crowds visiting Disney theme parks have thinned this summer. They said 4th of July, that weekend was the slowest in nearly a decade. According to Pew Research, about half of U.S. pet owners say their pets are as much a part of their family as a human member. Honestly, I'm kind of interested in whether or not this directly relates to the polarization of society and for politics, because as politics gets meaner and everybody turns into an activist and you can't be friends, et cetera, et cetera, who do you turn to? Animals. What's the saying? If you want a friend in Washington, get a dog. Yeah, so it just makes me wonder. That might be. But anyway, it's a big, big percentage. 62% of the people who own a pet. They say that 97 of them say all the pets are just a part of their family. Just another part of their family. It's what it is. And the Miss Universe contest, a dude won it from the Netherlands. Netherlands. Miss Netherlands is a dude. Stick with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all, live or on demand. The Dana Show.
I mean, look, you said he was inflating, and I thought, I mean, you're right. He's inflating faster than a hot air balloon at a county fair. No one wants Ron DeSantis, Simone. The guy has a really difficult time connecting with people. That's the reality. And let's not even talk about that personal connection that you expect a candidate to have with voters. Even the best campaign in the world didn't save Jeb Bush and $130 million that he spent. He didn't become president. Marco Rubio, you know, we thought that he would potentially become the future of the Republican Party.
He's hitting it once.
Raise a lot of money. Did not do well because he also had issues on the debate stage and connecting with people. And finally, I'll say this from a strategic position. Many of the bills that Ron DeSantis has signed into law in Florida do not resonate with swing voters
that's
across
such a,
the country.
That's, you know what, dude? That's Shermichael's his name. First, welcome back to the show, Dana Lash. First off, if it didn't resonate with swing voters, then pray tell, explain Miami-Dade and Palm Beach County's last election. I'll wait. We'll all wait. We'll all get us some ice, more ice in our sodies. Refill your Black Rifle coffee. You know, do whatevs. We'll wait. For real. Explain that. Explain then how you had Democrats that were verbally, like Democrats that had been previously very anti-DeSantis, that were very supportive, not just of him, but Republicans in Florida that were helping to make this happen. That's major. It was such a historic landslide election that there are no more Democrats in elected statewide office. Major. And it's not just that. That what happened there, that is similar to what you saw in Virginia. Look at, there were Democrats voting for Youngkin in Virginia. Why? Because he was just plain and sensible about taxes and about lockdowns and about schools and giving parents the authority to determine what is or is not age appropriate for their children, which is what the Parents Freedom and Education Bill was all about in Florida. Nothing was banned. They didn't ban anything like progressives banned Mark Twain or Dr. Seuss or anything like that. They just said some books are not appropriate for, I don't know, second graders. It seems pretty reasonable. You know, I mean, it's just some common sense age appropriateness from parents coming in there, right? Just some common sense stuff. I thought that they liked, the left liked common sense. Maybe I was wrong. But he's trying to hit two narratives here. The first narrative that he's trying to touch on is that, well, you know, policy. It's just, you know, he's too to the He's too extreme. It's just not working with swing voters. That's just it. Democrats are trying the strategy of saying the opposite of what is observable truth and thinking that people will actually buy it if they say it enough. It's not true. I mean, it's one of the reasons why Democrats are underwater in favorability. I mean, actually still, especially on this issue. I mean, it's because it does resonate. It's just common sense stuff. Now, the other thing that he was hitting on is he was hitting some of these narratives here, like saying something like, oh, his personality or whatever like this. This is actually something that I've seen some of the Trump camp also say, and some on the right, some of the surrogates for Trump, where they act like he's, you know, low energy or something like that. He's not low energy. I don't think he's any more low energy than Trump is. He's just different. I mean, not everybody is the exact same person, which is why we have the word called individual. But what DeSantis's camp should be saying in response to this, I think they should play off, like, especially the leftist attacks, because the left is trying to make him, they're arguing two things, that both things that they're arguing cancel each other out. They're simultaneously arguing that he is, you know, the second coming of the devil, or the first coming of the devil, or just the devil, whatever. And also that he's a weak introvert who can't do anything. Which is it? I mean, you can't have it both ways. I think DeSantis's camp should play off the whole he's not bombastic by saying that, you know, while he's a servant of the public, he's not an entertainer. And any claims that he is, you know, silent in five languages, like they said about Coolidge, who was arguably one of the greatest presidents we had, is greatly exaggerated. That's what his camp should be saying in response. The left, there's two things that are happening here. And both of these things I want you to be aware of. And as I was saying last hour, or last segment, I'm immediately up front with everybody who I like and who I prefer in a primary. I mean, obviously, I'll vote for whomever the candidate is going into the general, but I have preferences in a primary. And one of the reasons why I have preferences in a primary is because we just celebrated the rejection of loyalty to a king or politician. We literally celebrated that with fireworks on a day called Independence Day. So I don't play the game that I owe my loyalty to anyone. I owe my loyalty to no one who's never demonstrated any loyalty to me. And I definitely, it's in my American DNA, do not owe my loyalty to any politician or representative, because it is the other way around. Don't get sold a false bag of goods. They have to continually demonstrate their loyalty to you. That's how this works. That's why we celebrate Independence Day. So one of the things that I've seen, and the left has been pushing this, they need to, and I think that Trump surrogates also are looking at doing this. And it's not a bad a campaign strategy for a primary. I mean, you have to be able to try to set yourself apart, etc. They want to create the narrative. And this is the thing that this Shermichael guy was just talking about on whatever network that was. They're trying to push out this narrative that DeSantis is the new Scott Walker or Jeb Bush. I.e., they need him to peak early and wane. Now, the left does not, the media does not want anybody other than Trump. I know sometimes that makes people angry, but I'm telling you, they want him. Against Trump, that is the only way that Biden is competitive. I didn't say that he is inevitable. I said he's competitive. That's what Democrats are looking at. However, the reason why they're keeping Gavin Newsom in the wings is if it's not that scenario. That's why they're keeping him all in the bullpen and he's running a somewhat more low-key shadow campaign. They need to have an alternative if it's not Trump. So they're playing a very interesting game here and you need to be aware of it. They need DeSantis to peak early and wane because that best ensures that they have Trump. Now, if you're in the Trump camp, you want the, of all the candidates, the only one who could actually pose a challenge to your primary campaign, you want them to peak early and wane too, right? You want to also minimize the peaking. So they need voters to believe that DeSantis is some sort of introverted wallflower, despite having previously been elected as a founding member of the Grassroot House Freedom Caucus and two-time Florida governor. So that's why I think DeSantis' camp needs to play it off like, you know, claims that he's silent in five languages a la Coolidge is greatly exaggerated. Because then you're indirectly comparing yourself to Calvin Coolidge, and everybody likes Calvin Coolidge, and he was one of the greater presidents that we have, and so that's a win-win for him as a deflection. So that's what they, that's honestly how they should be handling this. But that's there, that is where you have a narrative that works both for the press and for the Trump campaign going into the primary. And that's a smart way to play it. I mean, that's, primary campaigns are dust them ups. It's a smart way to play it. But that's how, whether or not it's smart is no indication that it's true. That's one thing that you also have to keep in mind. No early front runner, by the way, performs well when it's time to choose the nominee. I mean, John Huntsman was in the lead this time. What was it, during 2012? John Huntsman was in the lead. How well did that work? We don't have a President Huntsman, do we? Did he even make it to the convention? I don't think he made it to the convention. I don't think he made it that far. I mean, look at Jeb Bush and Scott Walker. But there's also a couple of things there that you're there. It's very different, and it's a different period, and it's a different election time, and it's a different everything. But they still want to make that. They want to recreate that in the primary. Now, here's something else, too. One thing that I don't see as working well, and I don't, I wish that people wouldn't get as nasty, because you do the left's work for them when you get super nasty. That's why I'm like, I don't, I'm not ever going to go after a candidate, because I've told everyone I prefer DeSantis in the primary. I have no problem saying that. I like Trump. I voted for him twice in a general election. In the primary, this primary, I prefer DeSantis. I tell you that because I respect you, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I don't. Everybody who's out there, they already have a favorite. I'm just being honest with you about it. But I'll call balls and strikes, as I always do. One thing I will say that doesn't work, I don't like it when I see people like drag in the wives or drag in the kids and do all this stuff. I don't like it. And I think that there are some reasons why some surrogates are kept on the periphery. I saw one really bad attack that happened over the weekend. We're pulling this up. Twitchy wrote about it. One of the surrogates, what's her face? She's that loomer chick that ran down in Florida. She used to want to come on the show all the time. And she was, I guess, arguing with someone, and she was going after Casey DeSantis. Casey DeSantis tells this story of the kids, because she's got three kids running around in the governor's mansion. And one of them drew on with crayon on part of the wall in the dining room. It wasn't, you know, horrendously bad. They just had crayon and they drew on part of the wall in the dining room. Oh my gosh, it was historic wallpaper, etc. And she's like, you know, very nervous about it. And she's, you know, telling that story to be relatable. Anyone who's ever had children, doesn't matter how great of a parent you are, and it doesn't matter how well your children are behaved normally. Children are children, especially toddlers with crayons. Anyone who thinks otherwise has never met a child. So she was relaying the story, and this one surrogate lost her mind and said that, oh, the kids, the three kids, the DeSantis kids are destroying the Florida's governor's mansion. If the DeSantis's can't even control their own kids, how will they control the country? And then a conservative responded to them, and that's when the surrogate said, I could be married tomorrow if I woke up tomorrow and decided I want to be. I'm enjoying leaving a legacy and creating something of value that can be remembered by others someday instead of rushing into a marriage and pregnancy to live a mediocre life void of accomplishment only to be stuck raising kids who share the DNA of someone I will only grow to resent if I get divorced someday. That's what the loomer lady said. Oh my gosh. Imagine describing the most important role that you could have as mediocre and void of accomplishment. And is it shocking that it comes from someone who's single and childless? What is with childless people that all, and single and childless people that always want to weigh in on everybody else's, how they raise their kids? That sounds like a progressive Planned Parenthood supporter. It doesn't sound like a conservative or Republican surrogate. I think people need to kind of check themselves and not get run away. I think, honestly, I think from the rumor was that Trump was going to hire her. And then his aides were like, are you mad? And it never happened because he listened to, if somebody finally gave him some smart counsel there, and he didn't, because that would have been a nightmare. Can you imagine having to be responsible for that as part of your campaign? Good grief. people just need to kind of calm down. Good. It just doesn't make any sense. I also hear some, you know, people who get into it so much, and they say, oh, I just, you know, if Trump doesn't win, I could never support the candidate. Okay, then you support Biden. You support Democrats. I don't have any time for that, nor does the country. This is the last election you got. That's it. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I will accuse any patriot that will not support who the nominee is in the general. I will accuse them of aiding and abetting communism. Because that's the truth of it. That's worse than the whole Never Trump thing. And I don't have any kind words for it. Now, in addition to all of this, we're forgetting something. The Senate. There are three vulnerable seats that we have to get in order to win control of the Senate in 2024. How is that going to work? There's a great opportunity to win across the board here. This is what we need to be focusing on. It's what Republicans need to be focusing on. And honestly, if we had stronger leadership within the RNC, I dare say that we would not be having such a bitter and hateful primary, and it's just getting started. We'll talk more about that later. We're also going to talk about some of the economy and immigration. The media is apoplectic because New York City made illegal immigrants walk a mile from the bus station to their free hotel. Oh, my gosh. And media malpractice. There's literally a headline from MSNBC where they say that fitness trends have gone extreme and that right wingers are obsessed with fitness. Like it's a bad thing.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so first up, this is interesting. Florida, this is a Florida Welcome Center. I don't know what all your Florida Welcome, what your Welcome Center in your state has, but the Welcome Center here in Nassau County, Florida, well, there in Nassau County, Florida, was busted, and two people were arrested because apparently it was a mobile meth lab. Aren't all meth labs mobile, though? Don't they have to be? Yeah, I'm just wondering. So Florida Highway Patrol busted and arrested two people for trafficking and manufacturing methamphetamine near a Florida Welcome Center. The FHP conducted a traffic stop on a vehicle suspected of having an illegal window tint. I think the tints are ridiculous, but that's a whole other, like the restrictions. I'm going to go off on a tangent. The vehicle was stopped on I-95. They said the driver and the male passenger, they were on their way to Apopka, Florida from Charleston. They said that both of them were weird. They had narcotics in there. They knew something was up. They were transporting meth. They had all the chemicals and some meth on them, all the chemicals to make it and also some of it. And apparently it was all going in and out of this. They had a little mobile meth lab right up there at the Welcome Center. Welcome. Here's your meth. I mean, not that they do that. You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of reminded. Let's see. A Florida sheriff's office employee allegedly made up a story about two black men attempting to carjack him after he shot himself in the leg while fidgeting with his gun. Oh, my gosh. This guy. I could take one look at this guy and be like, OK, the way that you fix your hair, I don't want to give you a gun. See, this is why you cannot have me in elected office. A member of law enforcement, they fabricated this goofy story and invoked race. This guy, his name, I'm going to be mean. His name's Dakota, and he spells his damn name Dakotah.
Oh, stop it.
That is like women putting an eye on everything, okay? Stop it. He was previously employed as a telecommunicator with Hernando County Sheriff's Office. He's 21. He's since resigned. He's been charged with all kinds of stuff, tampering, fabricating physical evidence, all those other. Deputies responded to a call about an attempted carjacking and shooting. He shot himself in the leg by playing with his gun. This is one of the most ridiculous stories ever. It's because if I was like screening applicants for a deputy and I saw this guy's name was spelled that way, I would say no. No. Bye. Dakota with an H. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
So I'm joined here by local leaders to give an update on the current situation, what we're anticipating going forward, and what residents need to do together, how we can stand up using every bit of our power, mobilizing to fight the ravages of climate change, because again, these are unprecedented weather events that keep hitting us over and over and over again. So we must change our behavior as a planet, as a country, as a state, and in our own homes. And we're going to continue that conversation in earnest because we have to know that we have to do everything in our power to protect our citizens.
So what is she, because they're going to get a lot of rain, right? Isn't that what the thing is, the deal? That's Kathy Hochul, governor of New York. I'm Dana Loesch, your lovable curmudgeon and hostess. Welcome back to the program, Third Hour of Rush Show. Listen coast to coast, stream, simulcast of the radio program, channel 347 DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook. Always good discussion on YouTube. They're getting a lot of rain. That's the forecast, right? So, I don't get her deal here. And she was mad. She I think made reference to the wildfires in Canada because you had all the complete lack of forest management up there. So, what am I missing? There, it's rain. They not deal with rain? I mean, I think the Pacific Northwest would like to have a word. I think you're going to, you know, what I'm actually concerned about, did you guys see the link that I shared with y'all in Slack crew? I mean, they're talking about rain coming through. Did you guys hear about the massive dust cloud from the Sahara Desert?
Yeah.
Drifting 5,000 miles over the Atlantic towards the U.S.? It's called the Saharan Air Layer, and it is so dense it was spotted on space satellites this week. This is like the cedar pollen of the African continent. I think the Saharan dust. It's like cedar pollen.
So it's desert dust?
Yeah, it's like desert dust. So you can go out there and be like, I'm in the Saharan desert. Apparently it's going to be floating over. I find this fascinating. 5,000 miles over the Atlantic towards the US. It's going to bring extreme heat and impact air quality in a number of states, including Florida, Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, and Mississippi. They say it's going to turn hazy. It could turn brown from the sandy plume. It's going to linger over the weekend, and it's going to catalyze scorching temperatures around 105 degrees in Florida. And you're going to see an uptick in allergies. The sunsets and sunrises are going to be amazing, though. But it will suppress tropical thunderstorms, they said. And they, meaning the meteorologist. They call it the Saharan Air Layer. And they said when the air mass combines with strong jet streams, the plumes can travel thousands of miles. So we're totally going to get hit. It's going to be all over. It's going to totally cover all the Caribbean islands. And AccuWeather's tracking it. It's a 3.6 million square mile blistering hot desert. All the dust from that's coming over. So I said it's going to be hazy. Oof. It's going to be bad. It's going to be rough. So I would be more like, where's that at? You know, do you see people? I don't know. Are they having catastrophic flooding? I'm trying to understand why she's freaking out over weather. It's like when people freak out, oh my gosh, it's triple digits. And yeah, because it's summer. So it happens. Stop fear mongering. Stop it. So I wanted to switch gear here. Speaking of another crazy Democrat, The View was defending Biden ignoring his seventh grandchild because other Democrats have been saying this is bad. They've got to do something about this. Well, here's The View defending it, and they act like Hunter Biden himself isn't bad. It's other people pointing out his behavior that makes it bad. This is a Republican's pounce slash seize moment here. Listen to this. This is nuts.
Scarring one of his grandchildren's lives by not publicly embracing her. So apparently his son had a baby with a woman. They've fought about it. And he pays for the baby, but he has not embraced the child.
Well, he had to be forced
to
pay
for the baby. So Maureen Dowd is saying it's bad for the child that the president has not acknowledged her. So I kind of think, well, she should be kvetching at the son, whose baby it is. It's not the president's baby. So I don't know what you think, but I'm throwing it out
there. I agree with you completely. It shouldn't have been directed to Joe Biden. It should be directed to Hunter Biden. It's five children, not four, Hunter, because this is not Joe Biden's baby. And I think it's very hard for Joe Biden to be a grandfather to the child if his son is not being a father. He can talk to his child. He can advise Hunter.
Okay, I'm done.
But look, what is...
I can't even deal. First off, he's the one who runs on the... Joe Biden was the one who ran on the record of family, number one. Number two, he's the one who's keeping Hunter Biden at the White House, according to White House sources, because he's worried about a relapse. He has that much influence in his son's life. Number three, all of these emails showcase that he's been an instrumental figure in his son's life, organizing everything and overseeing financial transactions. So, yes, he has influence in this. Also, the story came out that he's been biting the heads off of his aides who have been trying to correct their positioning on this, getting them to acknowledge their seventh grandchild. They keep saying they have six grandkids, only six grandkids. Hunter Biden isn't just paying child support. He had to be dragged repeatedly to court in Arkansas and forced by the judge to honor his commitment that he made when he hopped in the sack with his daughter's mother. So he had to be forced to do that. And the only reason that he even agreed to do it is because they were set to go into discovery and London Roberts was about to drag every bit of financial activity that Hunter Biden has ever engaged in into the court. And everyone was rubbing their hands together on that. So that is the only reason that he even agreed to pay child support in the first place. So let's not act like he, like, you know, he stepped up to the plate there. He had to be forced to do it. Come on. This is ridiculous. And to sit here and say, well, he's, you know, he's not acknowledging her. He's embracing her. He won't even acknowledge her. He won't even, he's never even seen this kid. I mean, we're not even to the point of actually embracing yet. He hasn't even seen this child yet. But the point is, and really what Maureen Dowd was doing, you know, they're saying, oh, Maureen Dowd was hitting, you know, Biden, saying this is going to hurt Biden. She's actually saying this is going to hurt Democrats because Democrats run on the idea of the single mom. Oh, we're the saviors of the single mom. We're the saviors of women. We're there to stand up for the children. We're there to stand up for the oppressed and the forgotten. And, you know, all of this, they make it sound like they're this organization born in the mean streets, set in Les Miserables than anything else. But ultimately what they're doing is they're making excuses for this womanizing cokehead who's completely irresponsible, who's compromised his father, compromised the party, and actually creates a national security issue of ridiculous proportions because his dad won't tell his son no. That's the situation we're in. And it hurts the party overall because it completely compromises them on all of these talking points that they've worked so hard to curate over the years and won't even acknowledge the granddaughter. It makes them look like jerks. Because they can't, it's non-explainable. What is the point of it? What is the point of it at this level? How long has this gone on? Why? What's the point of dragging it out to this extent? To deny it? I don't get it. What do they lose by acknowledging her existence? They have to acknowledge that Hunter messed up. Well, duh. I mean, we all seen the pictures and videos. We know this is the least of the mess ups that he's done. Come on. So ridiculous. But they're not going to rebuild. They would defend anything. I saw this. Who was this one? I was shocked that this guy was an author. What book was this? I mean, I'm sorry. I'm looking at my retweets here. Who? I want to make sure I get this goofball right. This guy, he's a columnist. Michael Tomasky. Oh, yeah. He was one of the guys who I believe he was one of the people. Wasn't he involved in the whole laundering of stories with Fusion GPS? Okay. I couldn't even read his whole column because it was one of the most poorly written things I've ever read. And it bounced. It didn't have a central premise. He immediately like buried his lead. He went on two different things and he tried to dovetail them together. And it was just awful. And he says, new column, media expectation bias. When you're a good family man, the press will accuse you of hypocrisy about a thing like this new grandchild. But when you're Trump, all around scumbag, there's no hypocrisy. See how it works? Wait a minute, is he trying to say that Trump has some kind of grandkid that he didn't acknowledge? Because that's not true. What is the point? Why do you got to go back to, why can't you just say Hunter messed up? This was so stupid. Why do you even got to do that? Why do you even have to say it like this? A four-year-old is new grandchild also? This new grandchild thing. Who talks like this? What kind of statement is this? Oh my gosh. I mean, she's 4 years old. Hunter Biden fought for over a year to not even pay for her, much less acknowledge her. I mean, good grief, this isn't new, but it's all but Trump. That's all the defense that these people have. And that's what The View's doing, too. They ended up going down that road as well. I know you're shocked. You're totally shocked. Surprise. Speaking of media, oh my gosh, I have cultural decline in media and a couple of other things. There was, let me pull this up. Got a lot of stuff on the thing today. For some media malpractice, we have the, oh, this piece. So apparently Trump met Guy Fieri.
Fieri.
The Food Channel. Yep. You know, he's not a natural blonde.
No.
Didn't know that, right? What? So they're saying Food Channel's Guy Fieri. Guy Fieri. He faces furious blowback after he'd had a photo with Trump. The blowback is the media doing this. Yes. That's the blowback. So make no mistake on that. Also, they have this this story. This is what I want to share. MSNBC. Pandemic fitness trends have gone extreme. White supremacist's latest scheme to valorize violence and hypermasculinity has gone digital. MSNBC just tweeted this out today. They say that the right has taken advantage of fitness trends to expand its radical, because being fit is apparently fascist. Oh, man. And then they literally, this is actually a paragraph. This is MSNBC. Ready? Okay. Physical fitness has always been central to the far right. In Mein Kampf, Hitler fixated on boxing and jiu-jitsu. Not even kidding. So if you like being healthy and getting fit, you're literally Hitler. Do you know that? Kane, do you like being fit?
Yeah.
You're Hitler.
Actually working. What?
Yeah. That's what they say. That's what this is.
Did not see
literally
that coming.
Mm-hmm. You might want to stop, because see if you're fat and eat. Oh, I'm sorry. If you're curvy, there's curvy and then there's curvy. Then you're not a Nazi. But if you want to get fit, then you're a Nazi. True story. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who knew that being fit and healthy is Nazism?
Doesn't seem right, though, is what I'm saying.
I can't. Oh, and then they talk about MMA. People have been into MMA like forever. Why is this not shunned? I guess they don't know all the leftists that are in MMA.
They know what a culture is, and they know they have to attack it in order to have any chance.
What is popular? Let's call it Hitler. Great idea.
Exactly.
We have Stephen Yeats is going to be joining us. We got a lot of questions. I can't believe this, but I'm going to be asking him about the Barbie movie.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I'm going right to the survey over the beaches. Apparently, over half of the beaches contain unsafe levels of feces, according to a report from Environment America, which looked at water pollution data from more than 3,000 U.S. beaches. 55% of them had waters that were considered unsafe for swimming at least once a year. Okay, so, like, is this, like, what, whose, fish or people? And who is doing aqua dumps in the sea? Where is this coming from? Who is like, I feel like this is the best way to handle the situation? Who does that? I have no words. I'm shocked, America. Shocked. But I do, like, is it, like, honestly, like, fish, sharks, or what is it? I don't know. Anyway, I'm just relaying the information, so you have that. Let's see. Oh, boy. Iceland's volcano is, it looks like it's going to erupt. They've had swarms of earthquakes now for days, and this has rattled, it's rattled part of the peninsula in Iceland. And so they said that they're anticipating, well, they said volcano eruption near Iceland's capital. So they've been, the Icelandic Meteorological Office, they raised the aviation code to red after the eruption northwest of a city that I can't pronounce, and it is even hyphenated. They said their main airport says there's no flight disruptions. All the consonants are there in Iceland. Consonants, they have all of them. The Northern Lights are said to be visible from 17 states this Thursday. The Geophysical Institute at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks says they're predicting the Aurora Borealis lights are going to be visible in states farther south than usual. Typically, it's just seen in Alaska, Canada, Scandinavia, the North, etc. But they said you could now see it in states as far south as Indiana and Maryland. They'll be visible in Alaska, Washington, Montana, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Vermont, the Dakotas, New York, New Hampshire, and Maine. And they said it'll be low on the horizon in Oregon, Idaho, Wyoming, Indiana, and Maryland. So it's going to be, so you look for that if it's not overcast, which it may be. Nobody knows. A record share of Americans are living alone. Nearly 30% of American households are single person. It's a record high. It's U.S. Census. Solitaries is what they're calling them. They say they made up 8% of all households in 1940, and now it's an estimated 29% in 2022. Wow. So up next, Stephen Yates joins us on a number of different foreign policy issues. Don't miss.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Donald Trump says he would end the war in 24 hours if he was elected president.
It seems to me that the sole desire to bring the war to an end is beautiful. But this desire should be based on some real-life experience. Well, it looks as if Donald Trump had already these 24 hours once in his time.
Oh, boy. Kane's all confused. That's Zelensky giving an interview there. Came out over the weekend, and he's saying, oh, no. The previous president's desire to end the war wasn't based on anything in real life, no real life experience. Although I really do feel like this could all be ended if the West was a little bit more, I don't know, strict or stern or something. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Joining me now on this and a whole bunch of, it's just a grab bag of issues today. Stephen Yates at YatesComs on Twitter, senior fellow at America First Policy Institute and chair of the China Policy Initiative. I just got to get your reaction to that because we have, as I said, a whole grab bag of stuff for you today.
Well, Dana, I mean, it's very concerning to me to have someone who's been held up as a hero to the whole world speaking blithely about a war just going on forever. I mean, this is something that is not just unpopular among Americans. A large number of Americans see it as very dangerous. We have overextended and overspent in many different ways. And so he really risks losing the support he thinks he has in the bag by continuing to talk this way. It also just kind of comically, I guess he sort of knows that they were not reinvaded by Russia when Donald Trump was in office. I don't know whether he realized
it. It kind of happened after the election, if memory serves.
I don't know.
My memory's pretty good.
He's the man with the T-shirt, so he got to be speaking the truth.
Yeah, I mean, I remember it happening right after, you know, that January is when everything kind of first kicked off. And that was after, and it was very conveniently after Trump left office and they had the whole inauguration. And then that's when all these headlines started kicking into gear and all the moves started, you know. So I don't know when his 24 hours was supposed to be.
It wasn't written into the script that was being read from Ukraine. So here we are.
Okay. I got to ask you about Janet Yellen's Hobbit bow. Explain this for us, because this seems to me, and I understand, because I know we're going to have some naysayers out there who are going to say, but Dana, in Asian culture, it's like the equivalent of a handshake. But she bowed repeatedly, like one of those woodpeckers that gets the water or whatever that yard ornament is. It was really wild to watch it. And, you know, she's, you know, diminutive in stature. So she goes up and she just repeatedly bows to this vice premier here of China. It just looked awkward. And I noticed he didn't really bow in return to her. It seemed hostile to her, and it also seemed like he wanted to let go of her hand, and she wasn't going to allow it either. I don't know. Maybe she was going to fall forward from bowing. Your take on this?
Well, my head hurts with all the lunacy that I hear in response to these kinds of things, because all the people that just want to say them racisms or whatever else.
Them racisms.
Because that's what people in Asia do. Well, the Asian in that picture didn't do it. So kind of a problem for their whole argument. He stood tall as a tree and gladly received this weirdo supplicant coming and doing what no one else is doing to him, because he's not Xi Jinping. He's not the boss. In some ways, he's got to be scared. Hey, is someone going to see this person bowing at me? I don't want this attention. So there's, you know, this whole thing. No one in their right mind writes this into protocol. There's nothing in the communist system that says bow in the circumstances. And no American should be bowing to anyone except those that sacrificed to give us what we have today. That's it. Yeah. Anything besides that, and you're not an American to me.
It's very hard. I mean, I just would think we're talking with our friend Stephen Yates at YatesComms on Twitter. Because in some respects, it's kind of a negotiation. I mean, her showing up there. I mean, everyone's trying to reinvent the meeting as, oh, well, this is to normalize or try to put relations on a better track. That's never going to happen. This is a kind of who's stronger. Let's have a negotiation. She immediately loses the plot, walking right in and just like, I think she's walking in bowing. It was weird.
She bowed and shook hands.
It's a position of weakness.
Was great. She was covering all the bases because it's all just settling everything down because she and President Biden don't look through this through the lens of strategic competition. Oh, and we're just happy that they look through lenses and see stuff differently, but it really doesn't matter if the Chinese leader sees things a different way. Mm. And as far as I could tell, that leader didn't give her the time of day. So I don't, we have the Biden administration sending the National Security Advisor, the Secretary of State, the Secretary of Treasury, the climate czar allegedly is on the way. And then President Biden is ardently seeking a meeting with Xi Jinping. And so we have American after American knocking at the door, bowing to the emperor, kissing the ring. And the Chinese are like, okay. They're not changing anything.
Yeah.
So this to me, it just projects weakness physically and substantively.
Yeah. It's a bad move for her to do. Speaking of China, I like Elon Musk, but I view him as chaos neutral. And, he's got his Gigafactory in Shanghai, and he's been to China recently where he was meeting with, his automaker counterparts there, people who run the factory, was meeting with some of the, I understand you got to do business. Some of the, I don't use that for CCP, though. I don't think that excuse applies. He signed on to this letter, apparently, pledging Tesla's commitment to China's core socialist values to continue operations in the country. And apparently, Chinese authorities were demanding that Tesla change their ways because the company were slashing their prices to try to, edge out. I mean, it's what we would do in a free market. You're edging out your competition. Well, Xi Jinping and leaders of the CCP were saying no. So they made him sign this like truce, so to speak. I wanted to kind of get your take on this.
Well, first, I would give Elon Musk some credit for grappling with tigers that others didn't have the strength or the time or the wealth to be able to do. And so if he has some master plan that he hasn't shared with me about where he intends to go on the Chinese side, he's at least gotten a track record of pulling on the side of free expression and telling the truth. It could be a tactical kind of decision. I don't like it. I would like to see those with real power in the world, in industry and innovation, speak the truth to the Chinese people. If his message is, hey, your leaders are about to lead your economy into dangerous territory, but you can seek safe haven in companies like mine for an alternative future, that's one thing. I don't think that's what that letter is about. It's cut from the cloth of making people bow to the emperor. And so I don't like it. I think that's a bad look also. But I think Elon's a little bit different animal than a lot of our other business leaders that go over there and just have a big banquet and sing kumbaya and pray to the sun god about the world climate.
Yeah, I do agree on that. And now I said it was a grab bag today. Never thought I was going to be asking you about this. So Barbie, right? The movie. Warner Brothers, I know, is defending what they are calling a childlike map in the Barbie film. And it's when Margot Robbie's character is speaking and behind her is this, map of the world. But it shows Beijing's claim to the South China Sea, to this territory. I mean, it's in line with how China apparently would represent its claims. And there's a lot of criticism that is being thrown at Warner Brothers for this movie. The movie was banned in Vietnam. I know that a lot of films have to, if they want a Chinese opening, if they want all those theaters, they have to go past the censors and they have to do a number of things. I don't know. To me, it seems like this might have been the case. But something as small as this, and people are trying to say that it's kind of a culture war thing, but it's not. This is a foreign policy thing. I mean, it looks like it, you know, it's an accurate, it's wild because it's in the Barbie movie.
Yeah. Well, Barbie, Dana Lash, and Steve Yates were things that have never been in a tweet until today.
Yes, true.
But this is on the one hand funny. On the other hand, this is not a joke. And it's just like the bowing thing where lunatics say, oh, but this is just what they do. And the Asian didn't do it. Well, Vietnam is not a part of our culture war right now. And they're the ones that banned this over this very issue. These movie producers, these big houses, they pay a lot of money to a lot of consultants, tend to be all Democrats, but they pay a lot of money to a lot of consultants to get things right, make sure they're not stepping on the wrong toes. But, you know, if they'd have had an accidental map that showed the Confederacy, you think that would have been noticed? This is the Asian equivalent of making that kind of a ridiculous mistake. No one in Asia accepts this line. They all see it as a form of fascist aggression. They don't think it's friendly or an innocent mistake. And Top Gun showed that you can make a real movie with a real message and make real mega profits without being shown in a single Chinese theater. So they need to stop doing this.
And the line that Yates is talking about, for those watching the simulcast, if Juan can throw the map up, for those listening, the drawing, there's a little hyphenate. There's like, it looks like a bunch of dashes, this little line that comes on the right side of where the mass that says Asia. And that's apparently the boundary that they drew up like back in the 40s to designate that this is, you know, it's not disputed territory. This is China's claim. So that's what everyone's referring. I mean, it looks like it's innocuous enough because it's, you know, and I think the average person wouldn't be aware of this unless they were following it to some extent. But it's still using a Hollywood film that to further Chinese claims, the CCP claims.
Yeah. Well, I would wager to say that more than half of all the world's trade goes through that area of water.
Wow, half.
And this dashed line is used to claim essentially sovereign control over those seas. And it goes right up to the Philippines. It goes right up to Vietnam. It goes right up to Indonesia. And that's hundreds, if not thousands, of miles from any legitimate Chinese territory. And so if you like oil, if you like natural gas, you like computer chips, if you like trading with countries like Japan and Taiwan and other parts of Asia, this affects your life. And people in Vietnam knew it right away. They didn't need some government censor to wake up and say, hey, we want to ban this. Mm-hmm. And so really anybody with two bits of news and information or education could have advised this movie house to avoid it. I hope they get the Bud Light treatment for this. That would be fabulous.
Yeah, that would be fabulous. Last question, talking with our friend Stephen Yates. Biden's traveling for NATO. Kind of shocking, and Germany agreed with us. They were saying that Ukraine is not ready for NATO membership, obviously angering Zelensky. And then meanwhile, Turkish President Erdogan was demands EU membership because he let Sweden join the military alliance. But they're denying Ukraine's entry into NATO. I was actually kind of surprised to see that from this administration.
Well, I mean, you had to see that China and Russia were both against this. And they seem to have a lot of pull, both of them, with a lot of old Europe. And, you know, it's not just Macron of France that has famously suggested that Chinese aggression against America or our allies in Asia is not their fight, not their business. And so I think going soft on this was borderline inevitable, although I have some very good friends and people I respect that talk about the vaunted history of NATO. Its current existence is an embarrassment, if you ask me. And I think that they need to have some real soul searching about what a real alliance needs to be, what a real commitment to their own defenses really need to be. And if they don't do that, I don't know why anyone's trying to get in.
Right. Yeah. I mean, wasn't this, just to piggyback off that real quick, I mean, this was the same, these are all the same politicians and all of the same advisors that were blasting Trump and said that, oh, well, NATO was shrink, which it didn't. NATO shrank under, you know, the Trump administration. It didn't. So now how do they explain this? It's like they're completely contradicting their positions on NATO.
Well, consistency, truth, and all of that has nothing to do with the narrative. And so if you've got a narrative and an agenda, you just keep saying it, and the rest of us will just kind of put our hands over our eyes and pretend like, hey, we don't see facts as they are. We don't see any unending war grinding on here. We don't see a failure to rise to your own commitments to your own neighbors on defense spending among our European, air quotes, partners. And we'll just avert our eyes from the fact that China's moving pretty aggressively while all this is going on, and none of those European big powers are doing a lot about it. I think that's basically where they're going. This is what a Europe first world brings us. And I want to move past that. You would think in this woke time, the whitest of all alliances would be easy enough to move away from. But they seem to be stuck in this rut of old colonial thinking.
That's a good way to put it. Stephen Yates at YatesComms. And you can also follow the America First Policy Institute at A1 Policy. Always good to see you. Thank you so much. Always good.
Thank
Have
you,
a good rest
thank
of your
you.
Week.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
And make sure to sign up for the newsletter, chapter and verse, over at Substack. Always good stuff that comes out there every day. Get the prep for the radio program, deep dives. I'm working on a piece right now about 2024. It's in the works, and so that'll be coming out this week sometime. It's still in the drafting stage, but you also get other pieces about any other developing stuff, and you know, we got a whole bunch of other things planned for this week, so always good. And you can always find out, you know, our clips and our guest discussions on YouTube, so you can go to Official Dana Lash on YouTube, and you can find it all there as well. In the meantime, Today in Stupidity.
All right, you know how truth is a lion, right? All you have to do is just let it out. It defends itself. Mm-hmm. But anyway, sometimes it accidentally comes out. I'm not sure. This is Matthew Miller.
Oh, boy.
Biden State Department spokesman. Listen to what he says here.
A few things. So I will say, with respect to your first question, we believe the war has been a strategic failure for Ukraine.
What?
The secretary spoke to this in a speech he gave in Helsinki last month, I believe it was.
Listen to him get corrected here.
What's that? So, I'm sorry, a strategic failure for Ukraine.
Oh, and says it again.
Oh, my gosh.
I need more than one correction today.
Good strategic, Lord.
This is the first time at the podium for...
Yeah,
okay. Wow.
Sure thing, buddy.
He's like, no, it's the first time I was at the podium in a while. I don't think so. That's, yeah. And that does it for us today, folks. Have a great night. I'll be back with you behind the mic tomorrow.